Carolina.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Sorry I missed you last night.
No, but it was one of those family things, so I couldn't get on. Hopefully I'll catch up on the recording.
Well, there was no recording because I didn't get on.
Oh, oh well.
I slept through everything, including Jasmine's call for the Havdalah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, Tony was doing Havdalah at the time, so I felt like, okay. And, you know, getting dark was here so much earlier. Can I call you after the class today?
Of course.
Okay, right after, all right?
Yes.
Okay, if there's a change in plans, I'll email you or text.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to start, and hopefully other people will come in so that we can get as much of the material in as possible.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay.
All right.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bako. Anna Bako, Gedula Chemincha, Kati, Zerura, Alfet Gimel Yitat Zadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu. Ha-ha-re-du, no-ra, kufreshayim, sin-tet-nun. Na-gibor, dor-she-yuchud-cha, ki-va-vat, sham-rem, nun-gimel-dalad, yud-kaf-shin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gam lem, betet resh, tzaditav gimel. Chasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, na'el adata, het kuf bet, tet donayim. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelavet He Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Dalumot Shim Kufav Sadi Yud Tav. The letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet of Jupiter, and the Nun that created the constellation Keshet, which is the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Nun and the Gimel, it's the Samech, not the Nun. The Samech and the Gimel have a connection. They have a gematria of 63, and that connects to the Sephirah of Bina, the energy store. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and we are now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for that purpose. Adonai, Yohei Wahei. Adonai, Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. El Apayim. El Avchesed Ve'emet. Notzer Hesed La'alafim. Noseah on Wafesha. Vechata'a Vinakei. We're now going to read a verse from the Parasha Yitro. It is Pasuk 29. The energy of this Pasuk is certainty. And we say this Pasuk daily, hopefully, to elevate our level of certainty. And we'll say Elishem Yichud before we read the verse. L'shem yichud kud shabarichu ishkin te bitkilu urchinu urchilu urchilu urchinu le'achda l'shem yud hei bavav hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai elohinu aleinu maasei adenu kunenei aleinu maasei adenu kunenei. Rabbi Abba amar bekama atar kanenan dekudsha perichu koma deaved leela witata kola ihu. Yishot, Yovada, Dichot, Belei, Lach, Mila, Bialma, Divae, Barnash, Vedaya, Nakia, Leia, Mimea, Ulam, Hada, Beya, Kalana, Dehakulu, Ovada, Dichot, Inun, Wikola, Itzderis, Bialma. We're now going to connect to the year 5778 and its energy of time to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. And the first one that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon el hamelech hatavo na tamar achoti utlabev le'ene shete levivot be'evre mi ada. The second verse that we studied is connected to the year 5778, which is the year, the name of the year is Tashtonayim Ket, is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. I'm getting quite a bit static, so I'm going to mute. If you still need to, or if you'd like to ask a question, please just unmute yourself by pressing star 6. So we're saying Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of the name are separated by three letters each, which is a number that connects to the Tree of Life, as the right column, the left column, and the central column. Chatati odiacha v'avoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale pesha Adonai Yohewahe, we ata nasata avon, katati sela. The year 5777, the year Tashin Ayin Zion, the year of the goat, also has two verses that connect to this energy. The first of these that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we have tzatzki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, dear Yom, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, spelled Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of the name are separated by seven letters each, which connects to the seven lower sephirot. 7 days of the week, seven colors of the rainbow, seven continents, and the seven seas in the physical world. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechen Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776 also has two verses that connect to its energy, which is the energy of the pause that refreshes. The first verse that we read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit Et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum achechem ha'levim ad kilot hamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei leval lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Breka'a. The second verse that connects to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing up death forever. There are three verses that connect to this. First that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam, asher yitchabe sham lishavtem, Eli El Nahum, Wihalachti Eithem, Wihayim Yashno, Baretz Vihipasti, O Tobakol Alfe Yehu. Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Excuse me. Kegel olanet yoved roam yom ruayo. The verse 5774, or the verse, there's one verse that connects to the year 5774. The energy of the year is peace in the Middle East. And we have 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 is the verse. Wasanti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam. Tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. V'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We're going to do that in silence by scanning the letters due to the connection to the month of Kislev that we are now in. I will say the names of the rows so that everyone can be in sync with the scanning process. Row 1. Row 2. Row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9, now for the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, the same technique will be utilized. Row 1, row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 22nd day of Kislev, Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, Rabbi Meshulam Meretz, Rabbi Pinchas of Ostrocha, Rabbi Yecheskel Tanei, Rabbi Yoel Ashkenazi of Zotchog, Rabbi Chaim Kesar or Chasar, Rabbi Shalom Mordechai Schwadron, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Klein. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is the 3rd class in our preparation for Hanukkah. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom page. My mistake. You can find it on the Unique Astrological Times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom of the page if you're on a mobile device. Once the page is opened, scroll down to where it says Hanukkah, and we are in the 3rd link under Hanukkah, near Yehud Hanukkah Handout 2. And this is getting into deeper kavanot associated with the holiday of Hanukkah. Does anybody have any questions before I begin? The Nir Yehudim, along with commentary from Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzedak. What so often turns people off from Torah is not seeing how the lessons of age-old religion have any value and relevance to modern-day life. This turnoff is most applicable and true when it comes to the study of Kabbalah. Today, Kabbalah is being taught to the masses by teachers that have not experienced the depth and power that the Kabbalah holds for people. If the teacher has not experienced it, the student will not experience it. This is especially true with respect to this teaching of the Nir Yehudim. Weak-minded, lazy, and other narcissistic types are the only ones attracted to this type of hype. Adding to the already existing problem, sincere, hard-working Torah-faithful individuals fail to see the relevance in authentic Kabbalah's multiple layers of concealing metaphors. Most are also somewhat frightened away by the terrible name now attached to the Kabbalah. This is due to the infiltration of the positive system by the Satan and his minions. This leaves the authentic and authoritative Kabbalah in a pretty sad and bad place, perverted and abused, misunderstood, rejected, and abandoned by those in the Torah community who should indeed embrace it. My written commentary. Not only does it need to be embraced, it is the only method available to avoid the Armageddon war. Please learn this Yehudim and others and use them often. We cannot address all the issues within a short form like an essay. However, there is one thing we can do. We can look at one simple in-depth Kabbalistic metaphor. A Yehud meditation performed during prayer, especially during Hanukkah, and its nightly and daily prayers that most people do not understand today, even in the Orthodox minyans. I should give you an additional commentary over the opening paragraphs on this handout. Rabbi Bar Tzedak, when he wrote this, was one of my teachers, and he is still one of my teachers. But I have always said to anybody who's asked me, why do I learn from this man? Because he is a left column teacher. His soul comes from the left column. He has moved recently towards the center column, which is a good thing. It's part of the process of the growth of in spirituality as people move to the center column. I chose to learn from him on a physical level because he was available and he gave great in-depth tools. But I also chose to learn from him for the spiritual reason to learn from everyone. Whether my soul is left column or my soul is right column or I have reached a level of central column, it is not important to the fact that I learn from various teachers, one of which is Rabbi Bar Tzedak. He is a left column teacher. I also learn from right column teachers. I also learn from center column teachers. the opening paragraphs in this handout are epitomes of left column indications. In my opinion, they are too harsh, although there is truth to them. There's a better way to relate to people than that mechanism that he's expressing here. But his tool is very valid, and let us continue to learn from that.
So, Hanok, I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Now that you mentioned the left and right and center column teachers, what does it really mean?
I'm not going to answer that question because it's something that a student of Kabbalah has to decide whether they want to learn from all sources or they want to learn from sources that fit their worldview or they want to learn from sources that they have affinity with. It's a personal decision. It's all correct. It plays out in our modern world as it appears. I'm not sure it's true, but it appears that people are reading political views, listening to television and radio political views based on one agenda or another. But they don't listen to both. They only listen to the one that is consistent with what they believe, that what their worldview is, what they hope to be true. This is, as I said, I'm not sure it's true, but this is what people are saying on both sides. So I won't answer the question for you as to what is the meaning of a left column soul or a right column soul or a central column soul. Because as we study in our advanced reincarnation, when we refer to a soul, we have to recognize that it's both male and female. And we have to recognize that there are 500 components on the positive side. And there are 730 on the negative side. And these components amalgamate, they join together, and they reach a quantum consciousness, which is called by a name. In my case, it's Hanok. Is it the same group of souls, soul components, soul parts that I had on the day I was born? I hope not. It would mean that I hadn't grown. I hadn't achieved any tikkun. I don't think that's a true statement. But the choice is each one of yours. And I'm sorry to tell you that I won't answer it. By the same token, I hope you understand why I won't answer it. Continuing to read at the point where it says Hanok's commentary. Well, I read that, the paragraph below that. We cannot all address all issues with the short form of this essay. However, there's one thing we can do. We can look at one simple, in-depth Kabbalistic metaphor, a Yehud meditation performed during prayer, especially during Hanukkah, and its nightly and daily prayers that most people do not understand, even in the Orthodox minyans. We can see, and I am adding, we will see how this very profound metaphor, when analyzed correctly, can be shown to relate to us a very relevant and profound lesson of psychology. Indeed, this is exactly what Kabbalah was always meant to be, the psychology of Torah and the Jewish people. My commentary. The Hasidic movement, as taught by the Baal Shem Tov, has been teaching this idea that Kabbalah and psychology are very much unified. Actually, in my opinion, it is not fully correct. There is a deeper level than the psychology aspect. When the world is ready, this will be taught publicly, while now it is being taught to individuals. The following essay on the Yehud Ner, Ner meaning light or candle, I pray will show us just how psychological Kabbalah is supposed to be, how so much unlike, and I am adding, the intellectual and the cult forms it really is, and how valuable it is to kosher and sincere Torah faithful individuals, and worthy of our rescuing it from the hands of its abusers. To begin with, the Arizal coined a meditative term called a yichud, a unification. This is a type of visual contemplative meditation when one visualizes in one's mind certain holy names of God and merges them together, usually by intertwining the letters of their spelling to create new names that incorporate the letters and thus the meanings and metaphors of both names combined. My commentary. This intertwining of the letters of two or more words allows the spiritual connection of opposites, since it occurs in the physical world in a physical mind. There is more to this discussion. Know that this mechanism was taught as early as Abraham, the patriarch, and in the Sefer Yetzirah, although not usually taught today. And I have been teaching it on this subject on my weekly emails under the term shiluv, intertwining. A simpler, more natural way. As we perform this contemplative task, within the confines of our human minds, we are taught that our thoughts reverberate through different dimensions and worlds and actually cause the supernal spiritual integration and unification of the realities represented by these names above. Thus, our minds create the spiritual unification of opposites or draw near that which is spiritually far apart. And thus the term Yehud, unification meditations. My commentary. Understand this well, as it is a very useful tool. It applies to names of God and unifying your soul with Hashem as well, even if you have not yet achieved the level of a Chadik. It will only work if you are sufficiently cleansed. In earlier generations, this technique would cause a great amount of chaos. Today, due to the fall of our spiritual level, the technique just does not work rather than create chaos. This is part of the reason that the commentary by Rabbi Bar Sadok is written in such an accusing manner. He's trying, this is an unwritten commentary, he's trying to keep away people who might abuse the tool. My other teachers are very clear, and in my own spiritual teachings and practices, I know this to be true. The fall of the desire to receive, which is known as spiritual falling, the lowering of the strength of the desire to receive means that we cannot generate chaos. in earlier days, a Yehud would have manifested in the physical world due to the desire of the person. So it was kept to a very few people who could understand how strong and powerful it is and was. In our generation, the Yehud serves many purposes, but it does not manifest on its own like it could in earlier generations. One of the most important Yehudim performed daily during the conclusion of the Amidah prayer, when we recite the words, "Blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses your people Israel with peace," Shalom, is called the Yehud Ner, the light. This Yehud is performed when we recite the word Shalom at the end of this bracha. This is the last bracha said in the public repetition of the Amidah. The reason why this Yehud is called Ner, light, is twofold. First, the numerical value of the six holy names involved with this contemplative meditation adds up to 250, which is the normal gematria value of the word Ner. Second, the concept of integration represented by the merging of these holy names defines what for authentic Kabbalah is spiritual life. Thus, this Yehud Ner is performed for the sake of shining the light of the divine into the consciousness of man. This is, after all, the true meaning of peace, and thus defines why this Yehud is performed when we recite the word Shalom in the Amidah. The Hebrew word Ner has many meanings. One is spiritual light, as described above. Another is the English word candle, which relates to light on a physical level. Also, two acronyms come from Ner, Nefesh and Ruach, and Neshama and Ruach. It can also be the root of the word boy or youth. In reverse order, the letters spell the word Ram, which is translated as one of the many forms of song. The procedure of the Yehud is as follows. First, one should visualize and contemplate the holy name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This sacred name of names represents Hashem's essence of manifest power that enables life in our universe to exist. The name implies pure being, above and beyond the ability of contemplation to grasp. Nevertheless, still active and purposeful in guiding every detail in creation. The numerical value of this holy name is 26. We begin by merging the letters Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei with the letters of another sacred name, Echieh, Aleph-Kei-Yud-Kei. This holy name represents that aspect of Hashem which is concealed and yet acts as the primary mover of things. Whereas Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the manifest power of Hashem, Echieh, Aleph-Kei-Yud-Kei is the concealed source of that power. The two intertwine with one another in a body-soul relationship, where Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the body and Aleph-Kei-Yud-Kei is the soul. And when you combine them and intertwine them, I'll let you discover what that actually does or means to you. Indeed, that is what this Yehud comes to accomplish. A bonding of the concealed and revealed aspects within Hashem himself. In essence, out of contemplation is to imbue the holy name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh with the power to act, and all things receive their power from their source above, Echieh. Ehyeh is said to be the name which is the source of the power within the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Thus, by uniting the two, we create the manifestation of divine energy, which previously was concealed and previously was not active. The name Aleph-Keh-Yud-Keh is said to correlate to the Sephirot Keter, which is the spark, the seed, and source of all things to come. Keter is the ultimate unmanifest potential within Hashem. When uniting this name of Aleph-Keh-Yud-Keh with Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh, we are imbuing the Keter with the power to pass on its potential into the realm of action. The numerical value of this holy name, Ehyeh, is 21. A simpler, more natural way. Once we contemplate upon arousing Hashem's concealed potential to activate it into manifest power, we must first balance the polarities of the right and the left Sephirotic columns. As we know, Hashem is the author of all things, both good and evil, blessing and curse, light and darkness, mercy and severity. A mere generic arousal to manifest Hashem's divine hand, energy in action, might produce a manifestation of judgment, of severity, of curse, or of punishment, God forbid. We are not all worthy by definition to simply receive divine blessing without merit. Calling upon Hashem to manifest himself, therefore, might be a dangerous thing if we do not specify through our meditative contemplative process what exactly it is we are trying to accomplish. In order to alleviate the manifestation of divine judgment and to arouse the manifestation of divine justice and even possibly mercy, we do the following. We again visualize the holy name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and this time merge it with the letters of the holy name Elohim. This is the name which metaphorically signifies Hashem's power of judgment. This is the name used in the creation story and signifies the power of limitation and form, and thus law, justice, severity, harshness. These forms are summed up by the Hebrew word din, judgment, and most adequately describes what the name Elohim represents. In order to mitigate divine judgment, it must be sweetened. The process of this sweetening is as described above. We visualize the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and merge it with the lettering of Elohim. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is Hashem's pure being, essentially manifests Hashem's force of mercy in the universe. Therefore, by joining the letters of the name Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh to the letters of the name Elohim, we are in essence neutralizing the forces of severity inherent in the name Elohim and eliminating the potential of their manifestation upon our heads. Again, as we perform this in our minds, a corroborative manifestation is made above in the supernal spiritual planes. The name Elohim in this meditation also corresponds to the aspects of the mind, specifically the Sephirot of Chachmah, Bina, and the semi-Sephirah of Dats. The mind is the human faculty that defines, distinguishes, differentiates, and separates one aspect of human reality from another. Therefore, in this Yehud, in this Ner, The mind is associated with the name corresponding to judgment. Judgment itself is the archetypal act of separation of man from man and man from God. The numerical value of the holy name 80, Elohim is 86. Once we have called into manifestation Hashem's concealed potential by meditatively visualizing the unity of the two holy names, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Aleph-Kei Yud-Kei, and then once we have balanced this manifestation, that it reveals Hashem's mercy and justice and not his severity by the Yehud of the two names Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Elohim, we are now ready to bring this meditative visualization exercise to its conclusion. My commentary. This is a very important spiritual lesson. Many times in the Tanakh, the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is followed by a second name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The reader is told to pronounce the first as Adonai, which is the usual manner to pronounce Yud-Kei Vav-Kei whenever it is seen in the Torah or the Tanakh scrolls. The second Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is pronounced Elohim by the reader. Why is this the tradition? It is the mystical relationship of Sephirot and the discussion of light and vessel. If one of these Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the light and one the vessel, then we are manifesting light in the vessel of severe judgment. When we manifest the light in the vessel of Elohim, we connect to sweetened judgment or justice, as discussed above. Remember, every word in the Torah is relating to a sephirah, to a light and vessel relationship. This also applies to our own words, even common everyday conversation. We do not realize this, but it is truly part of the illusion. Look for how this applies in your everyday life and learn to be aware of the reality and not the illusion. Doing the Ner Yehud assists you in achieving this. This, of course, is its manifestation into our physical world of space-time. In order to accomplish this, we must now introduce the final holy name of the sixth of this Yehud. This holy name is Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the name of God we recite during prayer. The name Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, represents the manifestation of Hashem here in our universe. This name of Hashem signifies Hashem's rule over the heavens and the earth, and the subtle manifestation of divine light through the various forms of the laws and acts of nature. This name of Hashem is how we refer to him here in our present state of physical being and spiritual exile. As we know, the name of Hashem throughout the Torah is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yet we today always refer to him as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. These two names have a very important relationship. It is through the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai, that Hashem reveals himself in our world today. The name Yud-Hei Vav-Hei is concealed within Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The two names form a body-soul relationship. My commentary. The connecting term body-soul is a Kabbalistic vocabulary that is easily misunderstood. Here are a few other terms to help you start to internalize the full understanding. Body is external, soul is internal. Mind and heart. Which is internal and which is external for you? Clothing, body, heaven, earth, me, you, which is internal. Ish, Isha, in Hebrew is man and woman. How does this relate to husband and wife or wives? Where is the justice in multiple wives, but not multiple husbands? House and home, form and substance or essence, upper worlds, lower worlds, crown and stem of the male sexual organ. Hashem acts in his power, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, yet in our present human state, the full manifestation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh would be too intense of a spiritual revelation for us. When the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is revealed and unsheathed by Adonai, we have events of the likes of biblical miracles, such as the 10 plagues, the parting of the sea, and other overwhelming changes in the forces of nature. However, if these miraculous interventions are undeserved, then rather than manifest acts of miraculous divine mercy, the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh can in turn manifest divine wrath. Even though it itself is essentially a name signifying mercy, if and when mankind is worthy, then Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh manifests its essential attribute of mercy, as it is intended. If not, then the name can become a very powerful tool of divine wrath. Thus was experienced when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people were exiled to Babylon. My commentary. Remember, there are no terms such as mercy or wrath on the divine level. There is just a vessel too weak, too small to handle the revelation of the energy of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, unclothed by Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Learn this lesson well so that you never get trapped into the religious worldview of a wrathful, angry God. This is one of Satan's most powerful tools. It is easy to overcome when you realize that there is no morality in the Tanakh. Even when words of morality are used, like Tov and Ra, good and evil. In order to avoid this expression of divine wrath through the passage of what should be divine mercy, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud comes along and acts as a sheath to filter and lessen the light of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And to make it palatable for us use here in our physical space-time dimension. This lessening of reception of divine light due to our sins, our separation from Hashem that we create, is the definition of spiritual exile. And I'm adding it's also the definition of physical exile. Our purpose in uniting the two names, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is to slowly but surely restore the level of divine mercy through the appropriate channels. Therefore, we intertwine the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, signifying the union of divine mercy and our dimension of space-time. I am adding that this can be and is beneficial to do every time we see the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and say the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, whether in prayer or in conversation. This is an unwritten commentary because I have never been asked why when I say the name Hashem, I say Adonai, I then say Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. No one's ever asked me why I do that. And if you've listened to some of the Havdalah ceremonies, I've begun to include all 8 letters. Why do I do that? As part of this process, step by step, of bringing this energy of concealment in a sheath, in a body, for the light of Hashem, because we have fallen so far spiritually that in no way is our world ready to receive the light. But we want Mashiach. We want what Mashiach promises. We have to do the work. And part of that work is expanding these steps so we receive partial. We receive partially the energy because we've sheathed it sufficiently. Being that the union of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Aleph-Dalet-Nun-Yud unify the heavens and the earth, they correspond to the 7 lower Sephirot. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Malchut. The numerical value of the name Adonai is 65. Now let us add up the numbers. I am adding, using gematria is an appropriate method. The numerical value of the intertwined name, Aleph Ke Yud Ke, Yud Ke Vav Ke, together equal 47. The numerical value of the intertwined name, Yud Ke Vav Ke and Elohim, together equals 112. The numerical value of the intertwined name, Yud Ke Vav Ke and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, equals 91. 47 plus 112 plus 91 is 250, the numerical value of Ner, Nun Resh, and thus the name of this Yehud meditation. Here is, this is a commentary. Here's additional information of Gematria. Every man has 248 parts of the body and 365 sinews in his body. Together they make up the 613 parts of the body and soul. This is not true for women. A woman has 252 parts of her body. When a man and a woman are in unity, there are 500 parts of the unified whole, representing the two lights of male and female. My teachers have all said they have never read the names of the additional parts. As a man who is between marriages, I contemplated the names of these parts, since it is inappropriate for me to visualize these parts according to the halakha. In my opinion, the names of the 4 parts are the birth canal, the womb, and the left and right fallopian tubes. Since I wrote this, well, I'll let that last because those four parts of a woman's body, I have still consider the 4 names. But again, this is my opinion. It's not necessarily true. Now that we have described the meditation in practice, let me explain it psychologically and show how this Yehud is actually a mental exercise for mental spiritual development, as well as a prayer of the heart to reach out to bond with Hashem. We must know and understand that what we call psychological development and spiritual development are essentially one and the same. The meaning of tikkun is actually the correction of the human personality and character and its alignment with the supernal divine in whose image we were created. In other words, spiritual growth by definition means character development and refinement of personality. For one to be the absolute best human being an individual one can be, this is the whole purpose of the Torah, the mitzvot, the Kabbalah, and meditation. Anyone teaching otherwise simply has not grasped the essence of the Torah. This is where the next part of the unique astrological times links would bring you. I'm going to continue through part of this, and we will discuss what to do with the next part. Because I want to finish this understanding. This may take us quite a bit of time, like another full hour. So I don't think we'll go that long. And we may end up finishing this in our 3 o'clock class today. That's 3 o'clock West Coast time. Or you may feel free to read on your own if you do not have time to continue. And there will be the recording as well put up later this evening. I'm continuing to read my commentary. Obviously, according to Rabbi Bar Sadok, I have not grasped the essence of Torah, since I agree that personality and character development is the purpose of psychological development and mental development of a human being. I do not agree that this process increases the desire, which is the consciousness of a human being. This is the higher level that I have referred to earlier. Ultimately, a human being will grow his or her unified desire to be capable of revealing all of the attributes of the Creator, which is the true essence of being closer to the Creator. It's the true essence of the what it means to be a tzaddik. Yehud Ner is much more than a visualization exercise aimed at influencing spiritual supernal energies. Yehud Ner is a construct to teach us about ourselves and how it is that we better ourselves. The names Echie, Elohim, Adonai, and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei all represent elements within the human experience. To be brief, each of these names acts as the source for that which is directly beneath it within the framework of the human makeup. My commentary. Please note that there were 6 names referred to above, yet only 4 are listed here. That is because we use Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei 2 additional times, one when we intertwine with Elohim and one when we intertwine with Adonai. Thus we utilize 6 names of Hashem. Are the 3 names of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei the same consciousness? I will leave this for you to contemplate. And our source is our unknowable essence, our personal Sefirot Keter, our inner higher self, corresponding to the attribute in the name Echieh. Yet the name Echieh is the source and understanding influence over the entire human mind. Therefore, psychologically, the name Echieh represents the aspect of the human mind. The name Elohim, which connotes judgment, division, distinction, and separation, underlies both our conscious and unconscious mental processes. We are almost never aware of what is happening in our unconscious. All we can perceive are moods and feelings. Therefore, the name Elohim psychologically represents the heart, the seat of our human emotions. The name Adonai, as said above, represents our physical universe. As such, this name comes to psychologically represent the third and lowest aspect of the human structure, our physical bodies, and its wants and its needs. Last but not least, we turn to the name Yudkeh Vavkeh. This name, which as we see imbues and embraces all the others psychologically, represents the aspect of the human spirit, the highest of all four human components, the one most ignored and forgotten by us. The four names therefore come to represent spirit, Yudkeh Vavkeh, mind, Echieh, heart, Elohim, and body, Adonai. My commentary is I would attach different level names, which are soul and mind. The upper worlds of Yud and He, or the Gimel Rishonot of Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina, of the Keter of me-you dichotomy. Three would be emotions, the six ends, the six lower sephirot, and the fourth would be the body. The world, these are the lower worlds of Vav and He. Yehud Ner now comes as a mental construct of how we psychologically contemplate imbuing our minds, hearts, and bodies with the element of spirit, which is the source of all inner peace and true personal contentment, or in other words, light. Thus, when we recite the Hanukkah blessing, L'Hadlik Ner Hanukkah, to light the Hanukkah light, we contemplate the meaning of Ner as we recite the word Ner in the Bracha. This is what the Arizal calls a Kavanah meditation. The entire concept is either contemplated or, in the tradition of the Siddur Rashash, visualized in detail with all the names and corresponding passages of spiritual energy, Shefa, from one world to the next. In order to accomplish this according to the Rashash tradition, the pronunciation of the word Ner is elongated for as long as it takes one to perform the visualizations or the contemplations. I am adding, it is my intention to add the information and visualizations from the Siddur Rashash, if there is time, or possibly next year, because I didn't do it for this year. Yehud Ner can also be simplified and offered as a simple prayer to Hashem, in which one prays that one can develop all of one's inner hidden potentials and rise to be the best and most accomplished that one can possibly be in this lifetime. In a prayer form, Yehud Ner can be summed up as follows. May it be your will, Hashem, that your divine spirit fills my mind, heart, and body. May I truly come to know and understand your purpose and role for me. May I actualize all that is latent and concealed within me. May I truly actualize becoming a full human being created in your image. And may we all say, Amen. This concludes our brief review of Yehud Ner in the original Kabbalistic format found in the Siddur Rashash. There are many more intricate details to the meditation. Nevertheless, all the details still point to the same conclusions that we have outlined here. One point I cannot emphasize strongly enough. In order for Yehud Ner to truly have its transformational effect upon human character and the psyche, one has to truly mean it and want it. And I would add, have certainty as to its manifestation within our body and soul. A mere visualization of mental concepts without any heart, felt desire will accomplish nothing other than giving one a false sense of grandeur. Such illusions are all too common in the insincere. Sincerity, discipline, and desire. These are the keys that actualize the Yehud Ner and indeed manifest the true meaning of Hanukkah. And I am adding, light and the Hebrew spelling, Chet Nun Vav Kaf Hei. I'm going to read the first paragraph below where it says, my commentary. In my opinion, a more real translation of the Hebrew letters used in the spelling of the word Hanukkah is dedicated teaching of the concealed wisdom of Hashem as revealed in the physical world. If one wants to understand how this is arrived at using the essence of the letters, please send me an email. This is where we will leave off. Are there any questions? And I'm going to unmute everyone so you can ask questions.
I would like to be able to go through this again. Would this be up on the computer that I can go through it all again?
It's up on the computer. If you listen to the beginning of the recording, or I'll say it again, you find this on the Unique Astrological Events link, Unique Astrological Times. That's on to the right side of the Yashem page, every Yashem page, underneath the two pictures. You will find the link Unique Astrological Events, Unique Astrological Times. Scroll down till you see the word Hanukkah. The third link under the word Hanukkah is where I started to read. The fourth link is where the second half of the page. So feel free to go there. Feel free to write down the letters intertwined so you have them in front of you when you start to visualize them. And as you do this sufficiently, often enough, you will find that those letters will appear in your mind without the writing. Are there any other questions? Our class today at 3:00 is scheduled to be about advanced reincarnation, continuing that teaching, that study. I think there's sufficient information about Hanukkah that we will be going through in the classes on the nights of Hanukkah, starting Tuesday night. So I wish all of you a happy Hanukkah. I may begin some of the studies, and I do plan to add additional kavanot that I have not had time to write and prepare for the website, but they will be on the recordings. I will be reading a book that just was published called The Lights of Hanukkah, 100 Meditations. So I won't be adding 100 of them over the 8 days, but I will be adding a number of them for those of you who wish to listen as part of our classes all through the week, commencing Tuesday evening, which is the 7 o'clock class for the four days and 5 days, including Shabbat. And there will also be, we'll discuss next Sunday what is our discussion. What will our classes be? So does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a happy, joyous, successful, enlivening, fulfilling Hanukkah. And may all of the miracles that you desire manifest in your life as soon as possible, as soon as realistically possible, assuming that you have cleansed yourself and want to cleanse yourself to receive these miracles. Shavua Tov to all. Have a beautiful Hanukkah. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shavua Tov.
A beautiful Hanukkah.
I also want to remind you not to say the word shell when you say the blessing of Hanukkah. Lichadlik ner Hanukkah. Do not say lichadlik shell ner Hanukkah. Shabbat shalom. Shavua tov.
Thank you.